Before we pray this morning, I wanted to just say thank you to you, the church, and we were hoping Rebecca would actually be able to be here today. She's not feeling quite as good as we would hope for, but she's on her road to recovery. She posted something on the church Facebook group, kind of summarizing, giving a little more detail of kind of the journey of these last few weeks. If you're not on our Facebook church group, you can be. You can talk to us about how to get on that. But we also printed off copies of the letter that she wrote to you, the church, saying thank you for all of the ways that you have been a help and a support to us. 1 year ago this Sunday was the first time we were seated here, and Pastor Phil was preaching his last message to you guys. And then the following Sunday would have been our first official Sunday here. So we've been here almost 1 year now. We're so excited to be a part of this church. And so you have been such a blessing to us in our life, and we want to be a blessing to you. We're going to pray this morning. And whenever we do that, remember, we are connecting our hearts to God in these moments. So it's a time where, yes, you have burdens, you have concerns, you have things that are just really maybe consuming a lot of your life right now. And not that you have to let go of those things, but you can lay them at the foot of the cross and give those concerns to Jesus this morning and really seek to listen to the voice of his Spirit in your life. So let's pray. God, we thank you. You are everlasting. Your love knows no bounds. Your light shines forth throughout this whole earth. Indeed, in all of creation, there is nowhere that is apart from you. We praise you. We give you glory this morning. God, we come before you as a mixed group of people, diverse backgrounds. We've had different upbringings. And yet there's something that has spurred us to act, to come here this morning. And it is that touch of your Spirit in our life. Whether that was the Spirit speaking years and decades ago, or if it is just brand new right now, Lord, in this moment, we are one as the church. God, we thank you for all of the ways that you show up, that you make yourself known in our lives, in our world. You keep on revealing yourself to us. You want us to keep on pursuing you every single day. God, we know we're not always perfect at it. None of us are. There's no perfect people. There is no perfect church. And yet we want to grow in faithfulness to you. And so we ask for your help. We confess our sins. We ask for your mercy. Lord, forgive us. Receive us and make us whole once again, this day and every day. Lord, I thank you for this group of people. I thank you for the ways that they have been hope and encouragement and healing in my life. And God, may each of us be that for one another here. May each of us be called to be that for the people who come into our life. Lord, it's not an accident that we run into certain people all the time. You bring people into our life. You order our steps for just a purpose, such as that one person that maybe is annoying, and yet they are the person we're called to speak to, Lord. Help us to do so in love. God, we pray right now for, it's hard for us to imagine too much rain, and yet a large portion of our country has way too much rain right now. We pray for all those who are engaged in hurricane relief, those who are suffering right now, especially on the East Coast. We pray for Ken, who is deployed there with the Coast Guard for these next several weeks. Will you keep him safe? Allow his team to do their job effectively to bring hope and healing, and whatever you call them to do. God, will you speak into the lives of each person here today? Make yourself known as you already know us. We give this time to you. We give our hearts to you. Now will you receive our worship? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I brought a bunch of things here this morning, as I like to do, and I brought what I could while I was quietly going around the house this morning, and this is most of the Bibles in our house. I'm almost a little embarrassed. Like, there's so many. This is more than like one person should ever have. And a lot of these Bibles have been given to us, or they've played a significant role. And I know that some of you have Bibles that are particularly meaningful to you in your life. This is, it says the Red Letter New Testament, and this was given to my grandmother on Christmas Day in 1928, and then my parents gave this to me as a gift, and kind of reminded me how, you know, the words in this book have been passed on from generation to generation. In fact, we're here because somehow we've heard the word in our life. The word, not just any word, but the word of God. When I was in Sunday school, I might have even showed this before. It's a little bit battered now. 1986, this was the Bible, my first Bible, that I got from our Sunday school program. This is the Bible that Rebecca got when she made what was called in her church profession of faith, where you stand in front of everybody, the church, and you say, "I believe in Jesus." And so this is the Bible that she got at that time. This is the Bible that I used when we were in Spain. So those of you that like a Spanish Bible, here, you can have it if you want, if you would love it. And this is the Bible that I want to talk about this morning. It's the biggest one, not because it's the best one, but this is the Bible that I bought when I first experienced the Holy Spirit in my life. And I knew that all of the Bibles that I had received, all of the faith that had been passed on to me, for the first time in my life, when I was in my early 20s, is when it suddenly became real to me. And I knew that I didn't need to know more information about the Bible, but I did need a little help, so the Life Application Study Bible was a great help to me. But this is the Bible that caused me to start reading the Bible again in a new way and led me on the path to full-time ministry. And so this is the Bible that I'll probably always hold on to, so no, you can't have this one. But we have a lot of other Bibles that if you don't have a Bible, I will give you one today, at least the ones that I'm allowed to give away at this point. What? And Kids Zone has kids' Bibles as well. I've got some student Bibles as well. At a basic level, as God's people, we are people of the Word of God. And in the Covenant Church, it's one of our core beliefs. In fact, it's why this denomination was formed in the first place. It was a group of people that wanted to be able to read the Bible together. The first covenanters were called readers. And that wasn't always seen as a good thing because the Bible used to be controlled a lot. And our founding, I guess you'd call it an affirmation, is that we believe that the Bible is the only perfect rule for faith, doctrine, and conduct. And you could add a lot of other words, faith, doctrine, and life, faith, doctrine, and practice. All of those things at the core start from the Bible. But sometimes, you know this, if you spend any time in the Word, this book is hard. This book is hard to understand, whether you're young, medium, or not. It doesn't always make sense. Sometimes you read it and it just, the light bulb pops for you and you get it in a new, fresh way. Other times you're like, I don't know what it's talking about when it says a pair of tongs picked out of burning coal. I have no idea what that means at that moment. This is a hard book and it can be frustrating to engage with it. Our hope here, especially on Sunday mornings, is not to make the Bible simply be more interesting to you. Not just to capture your attention in a new way. Many books can do that perfectly fine. You can go pick out any book, and lots of books will capture your attention and be interesting to read. But only one book has the potential to form a spiritual root in your heart that will not wither as long as you nourish it in your life. And that book is the Word of God. What our hope is that the Holy Spirit would not just take this book or the words that are in this book, but would empower those words to make them come alive for you in a new way. Now, I can't promise that every single time you read, you're going to come to some new, fresh insight. You may not even come to any new insight this morning. But if you stick with it and you're committed to say, Holy Spirit, make this come alive in me, I know it will happen for you. If this is a particularly dry season in your life, maybe that's the simple prayer, the cry of your heart this morning. Holy Spirit, make this word come alive in me. It's like when you're turning on the TV and you're watching something happening and it might move your heart for a moment, and then you forget about it. And the difference with the word is that our desire isn't for that to happen just for a moment, but that it would be something personally transformative so that when you read it, your life is never the same. You can't go back to the way you were before. You can turn on the TV and be moved to act, but only the Bible will have action that can be lifelong and transformative every single day. Now, while Jesus was here on earth, people had the benefit of his presence before them. Now, maybe they didn't always want him to be right in front of them, right next to them, saying, now let me open up the scriptures to you. Like, that would be pretty intimidating. And yet, while he was here on earth, that's what he did. Let me open with a section from Luke 24. Even when Jesus was here, it was still hard for people to hear. Jesus is standing in front of you, and sometimes people would hear the words that are coming out of his mouth, and they would not understand them, because there must have been something more that was needed. Let me read Luke 24, 27 and 30. This is that story called The Road to Emmaus. This is right after Jesus has been resurrected that morning. Later on in the day, he appears to two of his followers who are traveling down the road. They're traveling 7 miles away from Jerusalem. They're dejected. They're disheartened because Jesus has died. They don't know that he's resurrected yet. All they know is, did we just waste the last years of our life following this dude? And they're talking about it, and suddenly it says Jesus appeared to them. Verse 27, he says this. Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He used the scriptures to explain himself, but he didn't tell them that it was him yet. In fact, they were prevented, it says in the story, from knowing that it was Jesus at that moment. Verse 30, as they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and at that moment he disappeared. Verse 32, they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? They knew something important had just happened in their lives. There was something about the presence of God combined with the scriptures that opened their hearts in a new way. Their hearts were burning. I found this nice little picture of sort of a burning kind of heart just to illustrate that for us. This is what we're aiming for as followers of Jesus, as people who want to be disciples of Jesus, that our hearts would burn when we read the word. Not burn in a bad way, but burn and spur us to act in the world. Last week, the good news was that you have been gifted by the Spirit to do this. You already have the potential within you. You're just like a seed, and there's that, every seed has that potential to grow inside of it, but it needs something else. If it's a seed, we talked about how we have to prepare the soil. If you're a good farmer, you prepare the soil, you till it, you work it, you water it, and all of that combined, maybe the seed will grow if all the conditions are right. Growth requires special care and effort to happen. Each week in this series on Grow, we're going to try to identify maybe a couple of practices that can help you. Now, we're going to do this together. And in fact, later on in the service, I'm going to ask you for some ideas that will help us grow deeper as disciples. So here's the guiding question that I want you to think about, and we'll come back to it later on today. What has helped you grow in God's Word in the past? What has helped you grow in God's Word in your life? This acronym GROW, we're looking at God's Word today. This is the first of what I consider four essential spiritual disciplines. If you want to grow as a disciple, you cannot grow without the Word of God. It's impossible. It would be like planting a seed and never adding water to it. It's never going to grow. It's just going to sit there and do nothing. Remember those two guys with the burning hearts who were walking along the road? You know, they were so overcome by what had changed in their life in that moment that they ran back. You know, they had been going 7 miles away from Jerusalem. They were already getting ready, kind of bed down for the night. They had eaten their meal, and suddenly they were inspired to go back, and they run back to Jerusalem, and they find the rest of the disciples who are kind of huddled together, and they say, "This is what's happened to us." And while they say this to the disciples, it says, poof. It doesn't say poof. Poof. Jesus suddenly appears in the room with this group of people. Let me read a little bit further. I don't have the verse on the screen, but this is what Jesus said to them when he showed up. Just sort of like, imagine if the chair is open to you, open next to you. Imagine, poof, all of a sudden Jesus is sitting right there. It'd be a little bit jarring. What are his words? Peace be with you. Do not be frightened. Do not be frightened. It's amazing. He says, look at my hands, look at my feet. You can see it's really me. Touch my hands. Make sure I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, and you see that I do. Now let me read verse 44. Then he said, when I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. Now, this was all of his disciples, the ones who had been closely with him for the last 3 years. They had walked with him, that he had taught them over and over again, and still they didn't understand the very scripture that would have opened their mind. So what does it say Jesus did? He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. This is verse 44 and 45. Let me read the last verse in this section. Right before Jesus goes back to heaven, this is what he says. And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Power from heaven. You see, when Jesus left, he didn't just leave. He went back into heaven, and he knew that we would need something to activate the scripture in our heart. And that something is not a thing, but a person, the person of God called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is left and sent as this amazing gift for us. You see, when I picked up this Bible, the one thing that had been missing was not more words. It was the Spirit making this alive, activating the power of this book. I'll save you the time on the back of your bulletin. It says, the word is power. And you can go ahead and fill in the second one too if you want to. The word is light. We'll get to that later. The word is power. But it's only powerful if the Holy Spirit activates it. Word and Spirit working together. They never work apart. When you hear the voice of the Spirit in your life, it's always confirmed by the Word. And when you hear the voice of God through His Word, it's because the Spirit empowers it in you and within you. Working together. God's plan. The Spirit is an amazing thing. The very presence of God. It's not something to be scared of. It's sent to enliven and empower and awaken you And we could list so many more functions of the Spirit. It is the Spirit that enables you to encounter God in His holy word. It's the Spirit that opens your mind to understand and guides you to live into the way of God. It's this partnership between Word and Spirit that makes those two truths so evident. The Word is power. The Word is light. We'll unpack that a little bit. Now, we have to be careful when we say the Word is power. We might be better off saying the Word is powerful, but I like saying the Word is power. Because it's not just any words. These are not merely words in a book, but these are the scriptural words of God. And the scriptural words contained in the Bible are inspired by the Holy Spirit, written down. And so the Word is power and has power for all who hear and receive it. Now, yes, it has the power to convict us of our sin. Yes, the Word has power to change us, to sort of spur us to desire new life in the first place. It has power to transform all of our life. But we have to be careful because power in the hands of humankind is a dangerous thing. This is not magic power. This is not superpower. No Marvel, no Avengers here. This is the power of God in the Word. Power isn't ours to control. It's not a weapon that we get to choose to wield, but we are given the opportunity to use this. In fact, when humankind is given power for the very first time in the Garden of Eden, what happened? Mistakes were made. Yes, fruit was eaten and the blame game started. My wife made me do it. Thanks, Adam, all of that. What's the phrase? Power corrupts, but absolute power corrupts absolutely. Yeah, we have to be careful when we talk about the Word is power, because it's a power that we can't control and it's not ours to control, which is why the Spirit is sent to mediate that power for us. Let me read John 14, 24 through 26. These are the words of Jesus. He says, "And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me. I'm telling you these things now while I'm still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. All the words contained in the Word of God, when activated by the Holy Spirit, are useful to teach and guide and a whole bunch of other stuff in your life." When it says be reminded, we're not talking about merely remembering the past or having a nostalgic moment where we think, oh man, the way things used to be, I love those days. No, we're not remembering in that way. We're reminded that the Word is power in our life, and it drives and spurs us to act. We don't just read this when we're distracted. Well, you can, but it may not do very much for you in that moment. It may not move your heart very much in that moment. It can, but we can't assume that it will. Spirit and Word working together. In our denomination, this is how we've come to explain this. I put this up as a quote just because I wanted to make sure I got it right. But it's this interplay between Word and Spirit. The effective power of the Word cannot be separated from the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the first part. The power of the Word to actually change you cannot be separated from the work or the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You need both for something to happen. And then the second part is equally true. The Spirit never works independent of the Word. It never contradicts the Word. It's always in perfect harmony. The Word is made powerful through the Holy Spirit. Just because I say words out loud doesn't make them powerful. It is only when the Holy Spirit activates those words in our heart that they actually can have power to change. And it's nothing to do with us at all. And that's something that the church hasn't always gotten correctly in history. The word needs the Spirit to come alive in our heart, and the movement of the Spirit is never disconnected from the word. Because of this, we can say two things. Through the Spirit, the word is power. And then at the same time, we humbly say, this power ain't my own. That would be my way of saying it. The word is power. Second, the word is light. Oh, I forgot I brought a few batteries too. Just to kind of remind us, the word is power. You know, but by themselves, they don't necessarily do anything. This battery isn't really going to do anything. Same thing, the word is light. You know, I brought my little mini. I have a much bigger gas-powered lantern that I take camping, but it's loud and obnoxious, and I couldn't talk over it. So I brought my little camping lantern. The word is light. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Psalm 119, 105. In fact, if you want to read through the entire psalm, give yourself some time to do it. The whole psalm is a good one. Does that happen to be the longest one in the entire Bible? Yeah. The word is a lamp, or is a light. See, this lantern right now, would you turn that on for me? That was my Bible. That was the Bible in my life. Before I encountered the Spirit, it looked kind of good. In fact, it was just sort of sitting on a shelf, my Bible was. But until the power of the Spirit enlivened it, nothing happened. Until the spark of the Spirit. There, we'll make that work. Now, is it on now? I put the batteries in. No, we need the spark of the Holy Spirit. Uh-oh. That's why I have this one. You know. Oh, no. This is why I have this one from Peter last night. There we go. Man. That's why we always have, that's why we believe in triplicate stuff. I know it's kind of light. Until if the word is power, and if the word is light, and it needs the Holy Spirit as the spark, this is what we're called to carry into the world. Then it means that you as the church are the hands and the feet and the heart called to carry this light everywhere. Actually, I'm going to leave it out so you can see the little flame. It's even flickering, which is nice. Light is the common image in the Bible. That lantern, when I bring it with fresh batteries, of course, is that thing that keeps you from tripping over your tent cords that are staking out your tent in the middle of the night. It's that light that leads you to the bush next to your tent so you can go to the bathroom. You never thought you'd think of the Word of God like that. But it is that light that lights up your path, just as the Word says it will and can. And when we don't use the Word of God, we risk it not working or it burning out. We risk losing out on that source of illumination for our life. Before the Spirit refound me, I was really out of touch with the Word. I had grown up in the church, and I'm grateful for that. It's where I learned a lot about God, but I didn't know. I knew facts about Jesus. I knew the stories in the books of the Bible. But there was something missing. It wasn't quite residing in my heart at that time. And I can't quite explain it other than to say it was like pressing the button, and suddenly the light went on. And I didn't know it at the time, but that button press was the Holy Spirit making it come alive in my life. It was like when you walk into that dark room, or maybe if you have a garage and it's kind of dark and you're fumbling around, you're trying to find the string for the light, and then you finally pull it on and it illuminates the whole room and you're like, wow, I have nothing to be afraid of except for that giant spider in the corner. It's actually an okay room right now. In fact, I'm learning more about what's happening now. The last time I preached on this particular scripture verse from Psalm 119 was 4 years ago, and I feel like God has allowed me to understand this verse even more in new ways. And I want to encourage you, especially those of you that have grown up in the church and are good about reading your Bible. Maybe there's that story that you think, ah, I've read that 100 times. Read it the 101st time and ask the Spirit to make it come alive for you in a new and fresh way. You see, the Word has always been power and light, and there's a lot of other images we could choose to connect with today. But until that spark of the Spirit makes it real for you, not very much is going to happen. When your eyes are opened, your heart becomes softened, and the way forward can become clear for you. I want to speak to those of you who are in the midst of darkness right now, or you're having a particularly dark time. Don't neglect the Word. In fact, turn back to God. It was Word and Spirit that saved me or re-saved me, and I hope that it can be for you as well. How is God's Word being illuminated by the Holy Spirit in your life? It's such an amazing thing to come to new understanding, to be known and to know God. Earlier, I asked you the question at the very beginning, what has helped you grow in God's Word in your life? And now I want to give you the opportunity to throw out some things that have been particularly helpful for you at different points in your life. If you have a practice or if you have something that you did that really sort of awakened the Word for you in a new way, I want to encourage, especially all you introverts, that it's okay to use your words in these moments. Let's share just a couple of ideas. What's been helpful for you?
Community with other believers.
Community with other believers.
Two things. One is a youngster learning scripture to music, because now I'm 40-something years old, and I still know my scripture because I still sing those songs.
Learning scripture to music. So like memorizing verses from
songs.
Learning songs.
And then the other thing was when I sat with one story from the Bible for 6 months. It was the only story I read.
Okay, sitting with one story in the Bible.
For a long time. And it was remarkably transformative for me.
Cool. Yeah. Other things that have been helpful for you in your life. Yeah.
Change before and after really changed the way that my reading went.
Praying in expectation before and after you read.
And also sharing or teaching with someone who hasn't heard the story before.
Okay.
Gives new life into it.
Sharing or teaching with someone who hasn't heard a particular story or part of the Bible before. Interesting. Yeah, Cecilia. Ooh, you know, we have a lot of words in our life, so sometimes going on a silent retreat where you don't speak. Those of you that are extroverts, maybe you should try that. Introverts, no, you don't get to try that.
Come on.
No, you can. Yeah.
Making a plan and sticking with it.
Ooh. Ooh, making a plan and sticking with it. So being resilient even when you're in a funk. You know, we all start out, you know, day one of your read the Bible in 1 year plan, and by day three you're like, is this going to happen? Maybe doing it in community with another person might be a way. I know other people have said, you know, getting into the discipline of reading the Bible with their children. particularly maybe at bedtime or something. You know, not only does it benefit your children, but it benefits you because you're ingesting the word as well if you have children. Yeah.
Memorize longer portions and keep going over them in my mind while driving.
Ooh.
Turn off the radio.
So memorizing longer parts and kind of meditating on it as you're driving. You know, driving doesn't have to be wasted moments where you're just getting mad at the people around you. Awesome. You see what we just did in like 3 minutes? You know, this is part of the function of the church, the body of Christ, that we help one another to grow in these disciplines. You know, maybe it's been a while. Yeah, do you have... Nice. The Bible on CD, and in fact, it's at the bottom, the Immerse Bible that we did last fall, and we're going to do the second part of Immerse this right after the new year. They had an audio version that we had the podcast for, and I know some people used it while they were commuting to work as a great practice to be in the Word more. Maybe it's time for you to try something new if you're feeling a little stagnant in the Word of God. You know, maybe you've been a part of a Bible study. Yeah, Ray.
I started how to, you know, when reading, there's some, you know, I'm reading the Bible. I don't think my intention is when there's a particular scripture that I'm going to read, that I'm going to read the whole thing. Something's going to grab me and get my attention, and then I'll journal on that.
Mm. So sometimes we have this intention, I'm going to read these five chapters today, but we have to be open to maybe there's that one thing in Scripture that grabs our attention, and then you said sometimes you write about it, you journal about it. Cool.
A really helpful tool for me when I don't know what to read is to figure out what the date is, like today's the 16th.
Okay.
I'd start by reading Psalm 16, and then Psalm 46, you add 30, and then Psalm 70. If I can't figure it out for myself, it's just an easy,
cool.
16th, I'll read that Psalm.
When you're struggling, you know, you don't just have to do this.
Yeah.
You can actually find creative ways to spur your connection to the Word. Yeah, thanks. See, that was about a dozen different ideas for you. And maybe there's one that resonates with you at this point in your life. Maybe you have to try something like pray in the Scriptures, where you take, you know, a verse or a story and you use that as the prayer in your life for a season. You know, the Psalms are a great way of doing that, engaging with the Word. If you haven't participated in a Bible study, maybe it's time to consider making a commitment to lead or attend a growth group this year. Maybe it's selecting or memorizing a verse that's going to be your life verse, that's going to provide that rule of life for you, that is going to be in your thoughts every single day. There's so many other scripture verses that can help us grow. In your bulletin, there's an insert, and this is just a little something that you can do on your own, you can do in community, you could do as a part of a growth group. There's enough here to generate at least an hour's worth of discussion if you're with a group of people. If you're an achiever, maybe a little bit less than an hour. But there's four verses on here that I just threw out there, and if you want to add a fifth one, you could add Isaiah 55:11 about the role of the Word of God in our life, growing as disciples. If it's been a while since you've pulled out your Bible, these would be a couple of good places to start. For you. We wanted to give you some practical tools to help you engage with the Word more. One of the spiritual ancestors of the Covenant Church said this back in 1675. The more at home the Word of God is among us, the more we shall bring about faith and its fruits. You see, for hundreds of years in the church, people had fallen into the rut that the Bible is a bunch of information to learn. But the Bible is so much more than mere information. It has to be at home in our hearts, rooted to grow. This is how we would say that phrase today. Not to be shaped by the Word is to be shaped by the world. Some of you have heard that phrase before. Not to be shaped by the word is to be shaped by the world. How will you be shaped by God's word this year? Newsflash, no one can do that for you. I can't. Your spouse can't. Your child can't. Your family member can't. The person sitting next to you, whether they're your friend or your enemy, they can't do that either for you. I urge you to do whatever it takes. Read, reflect, respond. Allow the Spirit, ask the Spirit to illuminate the word in your life so that you can grow into the shape that God already has planned for you. If the word is power and light, and the Spirit is the spark, then we are the hand. I got to use this one. Then we are the hand called to carry this into the world. And with the Spirit's power, we can do this. You can do this. I have faith in you. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. That your word is power and has power. That your word is light, guiding us and shaping us. But Lord, it needs the role of the Spirit to activate it in our lives. Lord, I pray for this particular group of people that you have gathered here this morning, that you would open your word, open our minds, our hearts, to understand you in a new way. And not just that we would know more facts about you, that we would be able to know the stories in the Bible a little bit better, but that your word would become rooted in our heart and spur us to be your kingdom folk in this world. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and forever. Amen. Isaiah 55:11. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. May God bless you in this week to come. May he grow your faith. May he mold you into the disciples that you're capable of being. Go now in peace to love and serve God. Amen.